I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. Cause the love that she gave every day was a way for the maker for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd help her go till you die? Till you die, but you're still alive. And I'm here to remind.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast. This is Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschooled Podcast, and I am happy that you guys are here today. I really appreciate your patience. Thank you for your patience. This episode is a little late this week. I really like to release episodes early Tuesday mornings, and the second episode of the week I like to air on Fridays. I like to post them out on Fridays. But man, we had a loss of power over here. We've had crazy weather. I know it's winter, and a lot of you guys are nowhere near sunny California, and you don't want to hear me bitching about it. But listen, for us, we had some crazy cold weather. We're talking about 40s in the daytime, which is nuts for us, okay? And that just crazy winds, and in my area here in Studio City, it just blew out a lot of power. So put me like a day behind in recording a podcast. But I do have a great podcast for you today, worth the wait. I hope. I have my good friend and hilarious comedian, Al DelBene, who I haven't talked to in so long. He's been on the podcast once before, and back then he also had a Skype in because he lives in Australia. He is originally from Boston, and I met him when we were both living and working in Los Angeles as comedians. He's a great dude, easy to work with. And I miss the guy ever since he moved away because he was so nice and so funny. And I'm glad that he called in because it's been like a year and a half, almost two years since he called in last. So now we're going to see what's going on with him. So he's going to call in right now. And I hope that you guys enjoy the show. Just a quick little reminder. I will be in Rockland, California on Valentine's Day performing for you, okay, Rockland, California, okay, Sacramento area. Listen, you guys, I'm kind of known for doing a lot of relationship material. I have a lot of material on it. I think I'm the perfect comic for Valentine's Day. So you're in Northern California, if you're in Sacramento or in Rockland, I'm going to be at Out of Bounds Brewery, a part of my new tour I'm doing this year, Laughs and Crafts, okay, where I'm bringing live stand-up comedy to a beer tasting brewery near you. Okay, so Rockland, California has a brewery called Out of Bounds Brewery. You can get tickets on my website, homeschooledpod.com. That's the website, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. You'll see my upcoming shows, including the Rockland performance, and you can buy tickets there. It is halfway sold out, so I need you guys to go and get your tickets now, okay? If you know somebody who lives in Sacramento area up there, give them a call. Tell them, hey, go see this guy for Valentine's Day, because craft beers is sweeping the nation, okay? It's one of the most popular things right now. They're doing delicious, amazing things with beer, so I figured it would be a brilliant idea to do a Laughs and Crafts tour, and I can pretty much do it in any city in the country. So hopefully I'll be coming to you soon. So I'm starting off in Rockland, California, up in Sacramento, and I'll see you guys out there. While you're over on homeschoolpod.com, make sure that you check out the merch tab. Click over on merch, and you can you can see what's you can see all our merch. I got awesome T-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, and I have everything from like yoga pants for the girls, and I've I've got tank tops for guys and girls to work out in, and there's mugs, there's stickers. It's a great way to support the podcast by getting yourself some merch, all right? Go ahead on over to homeschooledpod.com, click on merch. You can also click on sponsors and see all the products and services that support us, and that's a great way to support. Just click on the icon of something you want to check out, like Masterclass, DeLorean Motor Company watch, stuff like that. It's all right there. You can also, while you're on the website, click on contact and email me. I am happy to answer those emails. So please, I always answer them. Be patient. I get to them in the order they come in. So go ahead on over there, homeschoolpod.com, click on contact, and go ahead and message me. And if you happen to be in the Sacramento or Rockland area and you're an up-and-coming comic, why don't you guys hit me up on there, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll get you a couple minutes on the show, okay? But besides that, I'm headlining. I'm going to have a great show for you guys. It's craft beers. It's beer tasting paired up with dishes to match the beer, and you can sit back and you watch some live stand-up comedy. Who's better than you, huh? Nobody. All right, you guys. Al Del Benny's going to be calling in right about now, and that's pretty much it. Kevin Lyons, my co-host, is not here tonight because we are just doing a guest call-in, so no need for video or any of that stuff. I'm just having Al call in. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Home School Podcast.
Home School.
The Home School Podcast. Why? Because he was home school.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.
What's up, man?
Hey, there he is. What up, dude? Look at you.
You look so cool.
Do I?
Did you say do, yeah. You look so rock and roll.
Oh, man. I'm cold. That's all it is, bro.
Oh, okay.
It's, dude.
I'm sorry.
No, listen, man. Before I get into what's going on in Australia, let me bitch to you like that's going to matter. That it's how awful things are here. Bro, it has been crazy in LA this week. Like, we've had, like, the craziest weather. I think it's got to be record-breaking. Like,
really? Dude,
it's fucking cold. Like, I was talking to my buddy. I mean, you're from Boston. I have a lot of friends. I don't know if you keep in touch with Boston people over there. Dude, California has, like, the same weather right now as Boston.
Fuck.
It's like 40s in the daytime. Yeah. It's insane, bro. And like, it's so windy here though that like I actually putting this podcast out a day late because we had no electricity for like a day.
Wow.
Yeah, bro. So
wow.
there's my woes talking to a guy who lives in a country that the entire country was on fire.
Who am I replacing?
Nobody.
Oh, okay. It was just such a quick. You know, you're like, what, can you do it today? And I'm like, must be replacing somebody.
No, I didn't have anybody to replace. It was simply that, like, we had no internet. I had no electricity for a day. So
All right. It
was just like, I normally record them on Mondays. They're out on Tuesday morning, but now it's Tuesday night. And so this is going to be out Wednesday morning.
Okay. And is this the podcast? Are we doing it now?
Yeah, bro. You're on.
Oh, cool. And do you use the video or is it just the audio?
It's just the audio.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we do actually do video podcasting now for the YouTubes.
Yeah.
But I haven't really figured out how to just record what's going on my laptop and, you know, edit it together.
Oh, okay.
But hey, man.
Yeah.
We'll get there one day.
Have you tried Googling it?
I should look into it. I have a video guy that does, my co-host Kevin Lyons, who's not here today. He does like a lot of that video stuff, so we'll get him on it.
Yeah.
But it's great to see you, bro.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, man. You look well.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love this Skyping stuff. I'm going to have all my guests do it. I don't have to wear deodorant.
Right, no. It's a beautiful thing.
You can't even tell that I haven't showered.
No, I can tell that, but you get better with age. How old are you? I forget.
About to be 32. 32. Almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Met you. That's insane.
Yeah, I think I started comedy when I was like 20, so you probably met me like 21, 22, around there.
Oh, wow, man. Yeah. Yeah, so young, so tight.
Oh man. Speaking of which, how are things down under?
Oh man, things are good. Like, you know, I've just been doing comedy. I've been in my personal life. I've been in a rut for the past couple of years. I've been drinking again.
Okay.
And, I took, for those people who don't know, I took about 25 years off drinking. I quit when I was 19 because I had a problem. And then I just went, I'm a grown man. Let's give this another try.
Oh, really?
And I literally put on about 60 pounds. And I just now am like sick of myself and like getting ready to fix it. So,
okay. Is the thought process here like, hey, I had a problem when I was a kid, but maybe the adult me won't really have a problem with it. I'm a grown man. I can handle the alcohol and not get addicted.
Yeah, kind of. It was more like this is probably going to end badly, but let's see what happens. That was more my mindset.
But is the worst thing that happened that you put on a little weight?
Pretty much. Yeah, as far as I can tell. I mean, I'm sure I had some gigs that weren't up to snuff because I was hungover. Like, I never performed drunk. Yeah. That was my rule.
Yeah.
But I would be, you know, because on the ships, because I've been doing cruise ships, comedy on cruise ships, which is another reason I want to die. And so on the ships, there's no responsibility other than the show. So you can drink to your heart's content. And then I'd just be hungover like heavily almost the whole next day. So, yeah, I'm sure some of my shows suffered. But yeah. And then my wife caught me pissing off the balcony one night at like 2 a.m. And I don't remember that. And she said, you were like a little kid who like, cause she came on, she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? I'm getting some fresh air. Like I had no idea what was kind of happening. Yeah.
So that, you're getting drunk.
Oh, I'm getting shit faked for the most part. Yeah.
Okay. And are you enjoying yourself?
But to me, that was normal drinking. Yeah, for a little while, but it definitely takes a toll on my life, and I was definitely sort of kidding myself that it wasn't taking a toll, or I was going, oh well, this is the new me, you know, everybody has to deal with this now. But I haven't had a drink since February 1st, and it's the 5th now in Australia, so Australia, I can go to the doctor for free and just go, help me. And they were like, you're actually obese. Like, here are some diet pills, you know, and here's an exercise program, and here's some food that you should eat. So they have
medical diet pills out there?
They do. Yeah, I mean, they're basically speed. That's what everybody, doctor was like, they're speed. And the pharmacist was like, they're just speed. But I like a bit of speed. So
now that you're not drinking, it's certainly going to come in handy.
Yeah, I do well on stimulants.
Do you think you're just going to drop all that weight once you stop drinking?
I believe so, because there was a lot of extra calories every fucking day. Am I allowed to swear on your podcast?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah. Because I used to do, like, I used to get fat and then go, all right, I know how to beat this. And I just pretty much stop eating. And that's been my cycle through my life. So, and then I would do that, but I would keep drinking. So I never lost the weight. So now I'm determined. I have 58 pounds to lose, everybody.
Okay.
To get back to healthy weight. So I'm going to do that.
What were you drinking? Like, what did you start drinking?
I remember the first drink was wine. I was on a cruise ships.
Oh, that's not bad. You there? I think we're having some buffering issues.
Did
we
drove me to drink? Really?
Yeah, a little bit of a.
Should we switch to?
Want to switch to WhatsApp?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, you got the number there, right?
Yep, I'll call you.
Go ahead and call it.
All right. You're still there.
You're still on Skype. I'm trying to find the number. I'm just watching you try to work your phone.
I'm trying to find the number. Where are the messages on this fucking thing?
On WhatsApp?
No, on Skype, because didn't you give me the number on Skype?
I gave you the number on Skype.
Did you give it to me on Insta?
We probably have to close the video for you to see the messages. Yeah. So I'll end the call.
I'm looking at the messages now.
Okay, good.
Right. I'm going to say your number out loud. No. All right, dude. I'll see you on Skype. Yeah. I mean, on fucking WhatsApp.
Yeah, call me over there. All right, and we're back. That was hilarious.
We're back.
You searched my name on WhatsApp and called somebody else?
Yeah, there's another Agostino Zoida, and it had a different photo, but I went, oh, he's just being silly. And some dude eventually picked up. He was like, hello. And I was like,
oh, man.
Hello, Agostino? No, Agostino here. You have wrong number.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, you know what's funny is that I have a cousin with the same exact name as me, and he sounds exactly like that, and he lives in Germany. So maybe he thought you were like someone.
Oh, it might be him.
I guarantee you it was him.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's,
for sure.
That's awesome.
But anyway, yeah, let's get back to it. That you're a fat fuck and you're an alcoholic. Is that where we left off?
oh my god, yeah, totally.
So listen, yeah, so I was asking, like, you started off drinking wine. That was the first drink back, which is not so bad.
Yeah, so yeah, I started drinking wine the first, but the reason I drank was like I just needed sweet release. Like I was doing shows on these cruise ships, and I couldn't. The shows were fine, but it was all the downtime, you know, and I was isolated, and I just couldn't stand the thought of being in the middle of the ocean. There were all these weird psycho thoughts that went into this. And I remember I went to the crew bar one night, and I almost did it. My heart was pounding. You know, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like 25 years of sobriety down the tubes. And I left the crew bar, and then the next night I just went, fuck it. I went back and got a bottle of wine. Went back to my room and immediately just went, oh, I drank it and went, oh, I see why people do this. it's fucking medicine. So, but of course, my issue is, you know, I get blind drunk almost every time. Unless I'm at a party but like, you know, if I'm on a cruise ship, either at the crew bar or alone in my cabin,
yeah,
I will drink until I cannot pick up a drink anymore. That's just the way that I do it. So that's not good.
So was that the first time you were doing a cruise, or you have been doing them for a really long time and you just got fed up?
I'd been doing them probably for about a year and a half, and I was just like, I can't live like this anymore.
And every cruise, were you kind of thinking, like, maybe this is the time, maybe this is the time?
No. It was just one day I just went, I think, fuck it. It was like a fuck it thought. You know, and all good actions start with fuck it.
Yeah.
I just... yeah, so it was, whatever. So I did that, and, you know, and like anything else, it was fine for a little while. And then I switched to scotch. I love whiskey.
Dude, me too.
And, God, yeah, that was my drink for the longest time. And my problem is I would drink it like wine and just get
yeah.
So
I'm a Johnny Walker guy. Anything. I can sit and drink Johnny Walker, like, all night.
Yeah. Yeah, see, my problem is I don't sip it. Like, I treat it like every, you know.
Oh, wow.
I treat whiskey like beer, and I just drink it quickly. So, yeah. And I love it, but we're not a good match.
Yeah, you guys aren't right for each other.
Right.
So, when you got back, was it something that you kind of kept to yourself for a while, or did you talk to your wife about it, or were you kind of hiding it from her?
I thought about that, but I told her. It was like a sheepish, like, hey, by the way, I had some drinks on the cruise. Because I knew I was going to want to drink at home. Once the floodgates were open,
mm-hmm.
It was like, well, I can't hide this from her.
Yeah.
So I had to fess up. And she was a bit concerned the whole time. She, you know, we've been married 19 years. The whole time we've known each other, I've been sober. So she was like, all right.
Does she drink?
And, yeah, she drinks, and around her and the kids, you know, I'm pretty good. You know, I can get happy drunk and leave it at that. But it's just when I'm, you know, when I'm on the road or there's no other responsibilities, it just all that goes out the window. And luckily, I never did anything, you know, horribly stupid. So I got lucky this time around.
Well, I mean, how old are your kids now? Like, did they notice, like, hey, Dad, our whole lives you've never drank, and now we're watching you drink? Did they say anything?
Yeah, they noticed, yeah. They did, because at the time when I started, they were, like, 8 and 6. And they were like, you're drinking wine? Like, they made little comments and stuff. And and they, you know, I don't think they liked it when I got, if I got too, they'd be like, oh, are you drunk? Like, they didn't like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
and that, you know, that's not good. And they don't talk like that. They're Australian. They don't sound like.
Are you drunk?
You know, but again, I don't think anything major happened.
Okay.
You
know?
So.
Well, it's not like when you're on the road, though, that you have no responsibilities because, I mean, like you said, you do have a show, but you're still being pretty good about not drinking before the show.
Yeah.
So you'll just drink after the show. And then what about, are you worried about becoming kind of belligerent or around and getting fired, or do you do, you only do it in your room?
Well, no, on the cruises, I was doing it at the crew bar. It depends. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. It depends on things, but yeah, either in the crew bar or in my room. And I don't get belligerent. The other thing was, because I was worried about my behavior, and everybody around me was like, you are the happiest, funniest drunk we've ever seen. And it did. It brings out this joy of life in me that I'm just like, oh, my God. I can't do it the way I'm doing it. And I don't know if I can do it in moderation. So I might just have to, you know, cut it out again like I did when I was 19.
Right. Oh, yeah. Man. So you're not looking forward to that because you like drinking.
Well, I like it, but the last time I did it, I kind of went, because the last time I did it, it was about maybe 2 weeks where I didn't drink, and then I drank again the end of January, and I just went, I don't really need this, I don't think.
Okay.
I think I needed it when I did it, and I think I've come out the other side, and I'm just lucky that nothing majorly went wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
That's just my opinion.
Well, that's good that, like, you know, you were, in a sense, you were kind of right. Like, the adult you was ready to do the trial. Because if 19-year-old you went, or, like, even 21-year-old you went back and said, like, you know what, I'm going to start drinking again, you probably wouldn't be able to quit so easily or be mature enough to say, like, you know what, like, maybe I should stop. You know what I mean? Like, I think as an adult, You knew to do that. You have kids. Like, back then, you didn't have kids, and you probably wouldn't really give a shit about anything other than, like, hey, I want to have a fucking drink.
Right. And that's what I mean about no responsibility. Like, on the ships, I can pretend because it's just me, and, you know, it doesn't matter. I can lie in bed all the next day and just be hungover. But who the fuck wants to do that?
Right.
But that's what I was doing for a couple of years solid on the cruise ships. And I was just, you know, and at the time it was like, I feel like I need this. I'm just going to do it. And, and now I don't need it anymore. And I think I haven't needed it for a little while. And that's sort of the mark of the alcoholic to me, where I go, all right, well, I know I don't even want to do this anymore, and I'm still fucking doing it. So I definitely have a problem like that to me. Nah. Like, okay. Yep. I have a problem.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Which is not a big deal because I, you know, I knew for 25 years I had a problem. That's why I stopped.
Right.
I just, I had got some little false hope that I went, maybe I can do it now.
Yeah, man. I've never, well, first of all, I'm like the opposite of a lightweight. Like, it takes a lot to get me drunk. So I could sit there and go out and have five drinks easily.
Yeah.
Before I start feel like a buzz, you know?
Right.
But I mean, I really love drinking. I'm not an alcoholic, so I don't know what it's like. And I'm not saying that that's what you are, but I am saying that I don't know what it's like to not know when to stop. Like, I really like drinking, and I'll drink like all night if I fucking feel like it. You know what I mean? Like, I have that kind of attitude about it. But at the same time, I'm in my own mind, I will go, okay, this is probably a little too much. I'm gonna stop for like the last 2 hours of this party and just drink water only. You know, I'm pretty like, I also do not drink before I go on stage. If I go out to dinner, as soon as I sit down, I get a glass of water and I tell myself, do not order an alcoholic beverage until I've had like at least 2 glasses of water. I'm a big like.
Wow. Yeah.
And by the way, that's
like
great.
A scientist.
well, someone told me that actually, a nutritionist who came on the podcast told me that. That's a great trick to not only not get drunk, but to also save money. Because when you go out
right.
with a group of friends, they all get a drink, And by the time that they're on their second drink, you're on your first, and then everybody's kind of getting the check, right. You know? So it does kind of work out. But I'm also a big believer, a very firm believer in, like, you can do anything and overcome anything, or at least do it moderately if you, like, try hard enough and you practice long enough. Do you think that there's a hope for that? And I don't know. Like I said, I've never been in the case where I didn't know when to stop drinking. Like, I'm not that person.
Right. Well, and yeah, and that's why you can't wrap your head around the way I am. Like, you're what I would call an earthling. You're just a dude who can drink and stop and do whatever. And it's not that I can't stop, or maybe it is, but I tell you, like, there's nothing's a better idea to me when I'm drunk than another fucking drink. Like, it's not even like an issue. It's just like, fuck yeah. You know, just get it in me. Like, it's
yeah.
Like everything goes out the window. And that's why I'm lucky I didn't make any, like, horrible, like, you know, just do anything horrible. Like, I never drove drunk. I never went on stage drunk. I never got into any fights or anything like that. I was just, but I really did enjoy it. And I think I needed it just to open me up and process some midlife crisis horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm 47 years old, Zoida.
You're young.
47.
That's the new 46. I'm just fucking with you.
Oh my god.
I've also never done a cruise ship. I'm horrified to do a cruise ship. I have had it offered to me and I turned it down. I don't want to do it.
If you don't have to, don't. That's my advice. You know, and if you, because I moved to Australia, it's such a small market that in order to make a living, I had to do them, and I had to overcome, because I was afraid, because I knew I had to do clean jokes. You have to do two different clean half hours.
Yes.
And I didn't have that. And my ego was like, well, I don't want to go on stage and suck, but I had to. I just went on stage and sucked during the clean shows, and now I have good clean shows after 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But do you like it? Do you like the material?
Well, no, but I do think it makes me a better comic. I do believe that. I do believe it has made me a better comedian, because when you're forced to do shit you wouldn't normally do and sell it, I mean, that's a skill, right? You need that skill. So I was like, oh, this is a skill I've never fucking had. If I wasn't interested in talking about it, I couldn't sell it.
That's true.
You know. And I went through phases of getting up there and being like, oh, they're making me do this clean show, and this is, you know, I hate this. And I was like, no, I agreed to this.
Yeah.
This is part of the job. I should just, you know, embrace it and do it. So I don't enjoy it, but that's when I go, hey, you know, stand-up comedy, sometimes it's work.
Yeah. And, you know, if you didn't do it, you would probably have to go get a day job that was not anything to do with stand-up comedy. I'm sure you'd hate that too.
Yeah. Oh, I'd hate that.
Really, really hate that. And you hate this too, but at least you're doing stand-up comedy.
Right. And I don't hate it. Like, it's just not, I was like, I'd rather be doing what I want to, you know, talk what I want to talk about. But I'll tell you what another skill that I learned that I'm proud of myself is I learned how to, because my biggest problem was, how do I get my attitude on stage into a PG show? Because I was very confrontative. Is that how you say it?
Confrontational?
Well, no, I'm not calling people out, but I'm just sort of very sort of, you know.
Controversial?
Almost guerrilla comedy.
Yeah.
Not controversial either. Just my attitude was like, fuck you people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like me against you.
Yeah.
And when you go on a cruise ship and the first two rows are kids between the ages of 3 and 8, like, that's a harsh vibe to throw up there.
Sure.
So it brought back sort of my playful, because I was in my younger comedian days, when I was in my early 20s, I was silly and playful on stage and dirty. But so it brought that back. Like, I was less of a jaded old asshole up there and more of like a playful, silly, angry old asshole. Yeah. And I like that part of me that I kind of left behind. I was like, oh yeah, I found this again. This is cool.
Well, yeah.
So I guess it's not all bad. Yeah. It was like, you know, sort of helping myself out against my own will type of thing.
See, the one that I was offered, they want me to have like they basically want you to have 90 minutes, but like, you know, like 60 of it's got to be clean, which I pretty much have, and it wouldn't even be very hard for me to not do the dirty stuff because I don't have that much dirty stuff, but I still like to have my freedom and do it, and that's not necessarily 100% why I turned it down. But it's mostly the biggest fear I have is I get horrible, horrible motion sickness.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm scared to death to go on a cruise ship for that reason.
Yeah, and you should be because, yeah, I've had some horrible cruises, man. 9 meter swells and the ship is, it's a city. It's a floating city and it's still going side to side and up and down. And you're like, what the fuck?
Are you known for having motion sickness or not really?
Well, I'm not known for it. It didn't make the papers, but I do have...
I mean, like, before you did cruises, were you, like, you know, easily upset stomach?
I didn't know, because I didn't... Last time I was on a boat, I think I was a teenager.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, this is a ship. But, no, I do get motion sickness. I haven't thrown up. I've come close. But I do, and it ruins... It just ruins me. It just, you know, I'm like, ah, and then, you know, the comedians are they'll never cancel the comedians. If it's rough seas, they'll cancel the dancing. They'll cancel the magician. But you're a comedian, fucking dance monkey boy.
Right. And, because dancing is like that's the guest could get hurt.
Right, exactly. But what I found is the audience, a lot of them are feeling sick too, and they ventured out. So you try to give them the best show. And you can joke about, you know, how you're going to vomit. And it all works, you know. My thing is I'm just scared. I don't want to become a cruise ship comedian.
Yeah.
I don't want to relax into that because there's...
That's part of the reason that I didn't want to do it either. Not that there's any shame in doing it. We got to do what you got to do to feed your family. And, I mean, not that I'm in any position to judge or turn anything down because, I mean, I have a day job and you know what I mean? And when it's all said and done, I guess I'd rather be doing cruises. I just don't think I'm physically able to.
Right, yeah. I mean, I do have pills, too. They have those motion sickness pills at work. But,
I'm so scared of being stuck on something for that amount of time. Like, if I get sick and I can get off, that's another thing.
Yeah.
But you can't. You're stuck.
No, yeah, but you're fucking stuck. No, it is. I mean, the first time I went above decks and there was nothing but ocean, I almost had a panic attack. Like, the whole boat thing freaked me the fuck out. So I had to get used to that. It was momentous. It was a thing I had to grapple with, which might seem weird to some people. Because there's people out there that I know because they actually take cruises so much. Like, there's guests that I know.
Oh, my gosh.
They're always on there. So people love them. And I just go, I would never do this if it wasn't my job. You know, like I said, the shows are great. I love the shows. But everything else, all the downtime, you go to the gym, that kills 1 hour out of 24. You know what I mean? Like,
do you have a TV in your room?
Yeah, you do. And you load your computer up with movies and so you have all that, you read and podcasts but then you get sick of that. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, fuck, how much content can I consume?
How's the internet?
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's just enough, like, you pay for it and it's just enough. Like, it's just there to make you angry. Although it has, in this last year, it has gotten better, so.
Okay.
As long as you can feel connected, that does help, too.
I'm so scared of, like, just being, you know, feeling so sick on stage and having to do the show. I'm, like, so afraid of it. Like, I had, remember, did you ever know Mike Estime?
I don't think so.
No? He's a comic out here. I was talking to him about it, and he said that when he first started doing the cruises that he had to get used to it too. Like, he's not even like a motion sickness type person, but he would get really sick. And he said that he would have a camera and record his sets, you know, in the back of the room, and he would go back and watch them later. And you can see even on the camera that the camera was moving side to side. And I'm just like, man, I'm not doing, dude. I'm like officially done with Ubers.
Why?
By the way, do you guys have Ubers in Australia?
We do. Yes. Okay. And I got like a 4.9 and I've taken thousands of rides. I'm the greatest.
That's pretty good at 4.9.
It's
just not my thing. Like, I get crazy motion sickness if I don't drive. And the fact that, listen, you used to live in Los Angeles. You know how people drive here, right? Like, it's probably the worst drivers on the planet. And then we made them all professional drivers. And then you're getting in the backseat of the car with them, you know. And I sit in the backseat. And, dude, this last Super Bowl, I took an Uber to a friend's house because I knew I was going to drink. And he lives – like, I'll Uber if I'm going to go to the bar with my wife and I want to drink or – you know what I mean? Like, I'll still Uber, but I'm really done with it for these longer trips. I mean, it wasn't even that far, but my buddy's house for the Super Bowl was maybe like a 25, 30-minute drive. So then I took an Uber over there, and this dude just went up the 101 North – all the way in the right lane the entire time. That was his lane that he stayed in. And I'm like, bro, there's an on-ramp every mile. This is going to be non-stop of stop and go. Like, you've got to get the fuck out of this lane. And he kept doing it. He kept going back in that lane. And I just was like, dude, like, if you don't stop this, I'm going to have you to let me out. I'm like, it's just, it drives me insane. I'm just done with Ubers. I like my own car. I like driving myself. I like my music. I don't like getting into an Uber and they're playing. If it's a young Uber driver, they're playing horrible music. If it's an old Uber driver, they're playing horrible music because they think I'm young and I like that shit.
Yeah, you want it. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, bro, neither of us want this. Turn it off. You know?
I guess it would be different in LA. I didn't think of that here, because here it's just a lot of. It's just a lot of sort of Aussies in there. You got nothing else to do. They're very laid back, and you can get in the. You're expected to get in the front seat in Australia. So
you see, I used to do that. I felt like a douche getting in the back. I used to go in the front seat, and then I actually heard from several Uber drivers. They told me that they hate it when people do that.
Oh wow!
It makes them feel uncomfortable. So now I just go in the back. So in Australia, it's not courteous to get in the back.
I've started ordering the more expensive ones, because then you can, it says like, do you want to, like, you can select whether or not you want to talk, whether or not you want, what temperature you want.
Oh, really?
So I'm just like, because I don't like to, like, I take a lot of Ubers to the airport at like 5 a.m. and I'm just like, dude, I don't, you know, they're like, oh, hey, wait. I'm like, no, just don't talk to me.
I'm the same way, 5 dude. 5 a.m. I don't want to talk. Like, I get in their car and I go like, hey, how are you? How's your day been going? Have you been driving all night? You know, like that. And then after that, I'm like, don't talk to me. Like, I'm done. That was all I was going to give you.
Yeah, pretty much. The fact that my phone is out and my nose is buried in it means leave me alone. Mm-hmm.
And see, I can't even do that anymore, bro, because if I'm on my phone, I get so fucking dizzy and nauseous. Sick. Yeah.
That used to happen to me in New York, actually. Whenever I took cabs in New York, because New York was so starty-stoppy, the taxi driving, that I'd come home and my wife would be like, she could see it on my face. She like took a cab. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
Every fucking time it happened. But now the Ubers out here are cool. I like them. And one time I took a taxi because I was gassy and I didn't want my stars to go down. I knew I was going to be farting. So I took a cab instead.
So you took a cab and that poor asshole had to deal with it.
Yeah, fuck him. He doesn't get to five star me or one star me. But no, the trick is when I get out, I go, hey, thanks, man. Shake their hand and go, five stars, bro. Thanks. And then they'll give you five stars and everybody's happy.
That's great. That's
yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, I still use it. Obviously, if I'm on the road and I need to get somewhere, and I'll still use it. Like if I'm on vacation in a city I don't really know. But
I think it's one of the best inventions.
It is,
in the world for dudes like us who just are always find ourselves in some weird town for a day.
And of course, I'll still use it for airports and stuff.
Yeah. It's just the greatest. Like honestly, because you don't have to like go be like, hey, can you call me a cab, or at your hotel, you just boom, and they'll bring you food. Like it's just, I fucking love it. I love it. I think it's it's very convenient.
It's one of those things that. You know, when you're young, you talk about when are they going to invent this? And then they actually did it this time.
Exactly.
You know, I landed in Vancouver and they don't have it there in Vancouver,
Why
Canada.
Not?
I don't know. But I did see posters everywhere for Lyft saying coming soon.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There's no Lyft in Australia. I think it arrived at the same time as Uber, and Uber just killed
it. Just killed it. Lyft is kind of taking over out here, actually.
That's interesting. Are they still putting the big mustaches on the cars?
No, they don't do that anymore. Now it's good. Like some of them have like this tiny little LED light that is in the dashboard that it looks like a mustache, but it's very, very tiny. And then some of them just have like the little pink sticker. But no, dude, they're kind of killing it because they're always cheaper out here than Uber. They always underprice them. And Uber just passed a law this year. I don't know about everywhere, but here they passed a law that it's like their new policy is that it's no longer whatever the price that it says on your phone. Like that's now an estimate.
It can be any price.
That's now an estimate. They go, it's going to be around that price. So and Lyft has not done that change. So Lyft is kind of like taking over here now.
Yeah, there's something in Australia called, it's an Uber competitor called Ola, O-L-A. Do you guys have that?
No.
Okay, well, that one is like Lyft. It's cheaper and has all these perks, but these motherfuckers keep canceling on you because they have both apps, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
They have their Uber drivers and their Ola drivers. So you'll get an Ola driver who'll go, yep, all right, cool, I'm 5 minutes away. And then when he's 2 minutes away, he cancels on you because the Uber pays more.
Yeah.
And I just
see, just don't fuck with it.
I was like, I felt rejected. It happened like 5 times, and I was like, what the fuck is this? So yeah, I don't use them anymore.
When was the last time you had to fly into LAX, Al Delbeni?
Oh my god, I have. It was 3 years ago now.
It's got to be the worst airport on the planet now. It's a nightmare, dude. It's not so bad departing. But they changed the rules for arrivals, so you cannot have Uber, Lyft, any ride-sharing company pick you up anymore at the airport.
Okay, it's all taxis, yeah.
Well, what they do is they have these buses that come and they'll pick you up and they drive you to a facility where you can call an Uber from there. And
are you kidding me?
The ride-sharing building or pickup area is like way in the fuck off. So now you've got tons of buses clogging up the LAX arrivals, not to mention the cars of people coming to pick up their families. And then you got like, so it's just all, it's a clusterfuck, bro. It's a nightmare to fly into LAX.
Yeah, man.
But all you got to do it. I'll what are you going to do?
Again. I'll just take a taxi.
Yeah, just jump in a taxi, man. Spend the money, because now I'm like, I either got to bother my wife to come pick me up, or you know, I take the flyaways. But the flyaways are, you know, it's just another bus that's they're taking longer because of all the other buses on the road.
That's what I'll do. I'll just get your wife to pick me up. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Glad I thought of that. Yeah.
So what happened over there, bro? Were you on fire? Did you pee off the balcony and put out the fire? What happened in Australia?
No, we're very lucky where we are. I mean, we were surrounded. I couldn't actually see any fire. Sometimes in LA, in Studio City where I lived, I could see fire.
Yeah.
We couldn't see fire, but we would get covered in smoke for days at a time.
Wow.
And that was unhealthy. But, I mean, it was nothing compared to what other folks were going through. And I think a few of them are still burning. But I think the worst is over. Yeah, it was pretty full on. Like, Sydney was surrounded. Yeah, man, it's just crazy. And then in this day and age, there are people, you know, on Facebook going, if you think, because, you know, they have to, because there's climate change, people going, well, see, global warming. And then there's deniers going, no, someone started them to make it look like global warming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck, I don't even know who to believe. So,
right.
Because both of those could be very true.
Yes.
So,
but even yeah, if, so but even if it's someone that actually started it, it could be someone that started it so that they can blame global warming. You know what I mean? Like someone hired to start it, because it's kind of weird
totally.
it would just happen like almost across the entire country.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. Yeah, that's what the conspiracy was. You know, the Greens did it so that they could cry global warming.
Yeah.
I
grew up in Los Angeles, bro, and I don't ever remember. I mean, I was born here, and I don't ever remember having a fire season. And now we have a fire season, like out of nowhere. So, I mean, I guess you can say climate change. I don't know if I want to believe that, because they're always in the exact same spot, you know?
Yeah, well, I think climate change is a thing. And
I think it is a thing. Yeah, definitely. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist.
And I think, you know, why not build some more wind turbines and find some other cool ways to fucking power our horseshit. And like, you know, if nothing else, you're creating jobs and innovation. That's, you know, so why not do that? Yeah. You know, I don't get all what was Greta Van Susteren over it. Greta Van Fleet over it.
Were you stuck on the cruise during any all this? Were you kind of like, you know, hearing about the fires and getting worried about the home front?
No.
You were home?
No, it was like, I was on a cruise, but there was never any, like, worry that we were going to catch on fire.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we're right on the water.
Okay, good, good, good.
So
yeah. What's the plans for you, bro? Like, what's going on?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I've taken the past sort of 2 or 3 years off of. I've been doing the bare minimum just to, you know, I've been giving good comedy and I've been paying attention to my kids and my wife. And but like, as far as myself, I've just, you know, been getting fat and drunk. And so the new thing is to stop doing that. And
what's the game plan to lose weight? Are you just going to stop drinking?
I stopped drinking. I'm using all the apps. I'm counting calories. I'm working out. I'm on speed. and I'm just going to do the speed. Like, I just need to see results quickly. Because my doctor was like, he didn't really want to give it to me. But the dietitian was like, because I went to a separate dietitian. And she was like, no, people have success with that. It's just to kickstart it. And I was like, yeah, so we're going to do it for a month and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just need to get back to like 185. I'm talking in American terms now. 185, which is about 80 kilos. So I'm the fattest I've ever been. If I'm not sucking in my gut, dude, I cannot see my dick. That's never happened to me before. And that's alarming. So I actually told that to the doctor. I was like, I want to see my dick again. And he was like, gotcha. Here's some pills.
They're Viagra.
So the goal is to just, you know, live my life like I used to and just fucking take care of myself I used to. And, you know,
I'm sure if you do it just the way that you used to, that would be a great way to keep it balanced. But maybe like you need a little jump start to get the extra weight off.
Yeah, I need to get back to where I was or close to it, and then I can just start
maintain what you were doing,
being me again.
Yeah,
like, you know, it was getting to the point where I didn't want to leave the house because I had no shirts that concealed my gut. You know, like my vanity was running amok.
Man, I went through those times.
Yeah, man. When I met you, you were chunky, and then you lost a lot of weight.
I was chunky, bro. I got up to like 240.
Wow.
What are you at now?
I maxed out at like 235, very close.
And you're a tall dude.
Yeah, I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man. Well, you know, I just hit 9 months of no meat.
Wow.
This will be my 9th month, and it's going great.
How's your vagina doing?
I love that. I still eat fish. I still eat fish.
Okay.
I didn't go vegan.
Hardcore. I was hardcore vegan for 5 years in LA, and it was good, I think.
Yeah. Did you lose weight?
I don't remember feeling extra good, but I don't know. I don't think I had any weight to lose. I was working out twice a day. And,
okay.
You know, there was Runyon and then the gym every day. So
you just, yeah,
I was being my best me in LA.
Well, yeah, I'm not vegan. I still have cheese, eggs, and fish. I have no titles. I just gave up, you know, red meat and poultry. And, I mean, that really helps a lot. I feel better about myself. I feel healthier. I feel more active and awake and more energy. And, not that I'm saying that that's what you should do. I'm just kind of sharing what I did and, it's great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just do things moderately. Like it's impossible for me, not impossible, but I don't like to go, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I think I'm lying to myself. So I just like moderately go like, well, I'm going to take like, you know, 30 days off of bread and carbs in general, then I'll do another 30 days of no sugar. And I just finished my 30 days no sugar. And it's not really like to be like, well, I'm never going to have sugar again. Like, you can't really lie to yourself. You got to give yourself realistic goals. It's more like I get in a really good habit of checking the back of everything to see how much sugar is and stuff. You know, after the 30 days, the habit stays.
Too. Yeah, I used to do that. I still do that to a point. If sugar comes more than fifth in the ingredients list, I wouldn't buy it. Because, you know, it goes in order of how much there is in there, right? Percentage of.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just look at the percentage or the grams.
Oh, okay. Ah, that's interesting. I looked at the order. So, like, when you buy, like, ketchup, right, it'll say, like, tomatoes. That's the first thing, because that's the most of it. And then the next thing will be sugar, because that's the next most thing.
Oh. So if sugar's like on the bottom, then it's like it has the least amount of sugar.
Yeah, yeah. Sugar's like the least ingredient.
Oh, I never knew that. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
man. I'm going to start looking at shit like that.
Yeah, when I was watching my sugars, it was, if it's fourth, you know, first, second, third, or fourth, don't get it.
Mm.
Fifth is okay. Anything, obviously, after fifth is okay.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you know, you got beer, which I absolutely love beer, which is a bad combination of sugar and carbs. So
yeah.
I just take really long breaks from it. I can't say I'm never going to have it again, you know, but I just take long breaks, just moderate.
Yeah.
I had, I went 30 days without it. With the no sugar thing, and then I have my first beer on the Super Bowl. I probably won't have another one until Sunday.
Yes, and what about masturbation? What's the longest you've gone without touching yourself?
It hasn't even been like 24 hours, bro.
Wow, nice. All right, cool.
Yeah, bro, yeah. I'm jerking off right now. Good thing that we didn't do the Skype.
Have you ever tried to stop
masturbating?
Yeah, have you ever made it a point to be like, I'm not going to jerk off anymore for like 5 days?
I think when I was like 12.
Yeah.
Like
12,
Because I specifically remember like the first time I jerked off and I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
And I remember going like, well, and I felt so guilty because I'm Catholic. And then I told myself like, I'm never going to do it again. And of course, like, you know, the next day I did it again. And then I told myself, okay, I'm going to give myself 7 times.
7 times.
And then that's it. I'm done for life. And then yeah, it was all downhill from there. Why have you?
In my early 20s, I had to.
Oh, you had to?
I had to take time off to let things heal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And now you're married,
yeah,
so now you just got to do it.
Yeah. No, it's not an issue anymore. But yeah, back then it was crazy.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do on those cruise ships?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what they're there for?
Oh, boy.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for calling in.
Dude, no worries. I always have a good time talking to you.
I looked at the last time we Skyped. It was like 2018.
Okay, good. So let's do this every 2 years.
No, it's always great catching up with you, man. I mean, what the fuck's going on with New England, bro?
Dude, I don't know. I think he's going to stay.
I think he's going to stay, too.
I think they can eke out – if they can eke out one more Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
he may retire after that. If they can't give him the team to win the Super Bowl – and he's not ready to retire, I think
he might go then.
Depends what kind of deal he signs. Yeah,
right.
But I think this. Yeah, we'll see what kind of deal he signs.
I
kind of
think it's all for publicity. All of this talk.
Yeah, definitely, of course it is. But why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
Like, hey, I might leave. I might stay. I don't know.
He's like the most famous and best quarterback of all time. Even when his team wasn't in the Super Bowl, it was all that anybody was talking about was where's Brady going to go? You know, and that's exactly what he wanted to have happen. You know, right before the Super Bowl, he tweeted out that picture of him leaving Foxborough, and then it ended up being a commercial. But everyone freaked out about it.
Right.
He's retiring, and it's just like, dude, I could be wrong about this, but I bet you if you go and Google it, I kind of remember last year reading about that he signed an extension in his contract for 2 years till 2021.
For a 70. Talking about that.
Dude, I'm going to see if I can find it. I'll send it to you. There's an article somewhere I remember reading about in the news like last year. They extended his contract till 2021 for a $70 million deal. So $35 million a year. So this year and the next. So I think that he already is locked into Patriots for the next year. And they just kind of buried that article and are going, where's Brady going to go? Where's Brady going to go? Just for the publicity. I honestly kind of think that.
Oh, it's good. It's good PR, man. And
yeah.
I mean, I enjoy that horseshit, and you know, it'll be great if he can get one more ring and then
that would
go
be fantastic.
Fucking guys,
yeah.
I am out. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I hope so too. That would be phenomenal if that happened. And I think you're, yeah, dude, that, I mean, this year it was just great to have him talk. I mean, they're talking about him going to the Chargers, which, I mean, I'm not a Chargers fan and I want him to stay at New England, you know, because that is my team. And of course I want him there, but if he doesn't stay at New England, I wouldn't mind if he went to the Chargers, because then I get to see him play like all the time, which would be great.
Yeah, it's just the only thing is it seems weird because he's been the Patriots for 20 years, but you know, business is business, and you just got all right. Fuck it. Like, I'd be sad, but at the same time, I go fucking
yeah.
That's what the game is.
But we'll see what happens, bro.
I hope he stays. Yeah.
Yeah. Next Super Bowl, you're back on the podcast. We're talking about.
All right, yeah, definitely. Let's do
that. He's going to be 50 Beauty. Years old. You're going to be 50 years old. Where's Brady going, bro? All right, man. Thanks so much for calling in. I wish you the best of luck and losing that weight. And fucking.
Thanks, man.
What's that?
Maybe you should check in with me. Maybe you should check in with me every 3 months and see how I'm going with my weight loss.
I will. I'll check in with you and see how it's going. Right. And I hope it goes well. I wish you the best. And I hope your family's doing well.
Thanks, bro.
No problem, man. Thanks for chatting.
All right.
I'll see you later, bro.
See you. Bye.
I want you to know.
That was the episode with Al DelBene. It was great to hear from him. I hope that you guys enjoyed the episode. I think that was super interesting. I wasn't something that I was ready to walk into. I didn't know about the drinking, and I'm glad that we connected. I'm glad that we caught up with him, and I absolutely will be checking in with him every now and then to see how the weight loss is going, because I know I went through it, and it's not easy. And but he's a good dude, and he's got a strong will, and I'm sure that he's going to be just fine. I really hope that you guys enjoyed the episode and you got something from it, and you learned a lot, or at the very least, it just entertained you and helped you get through your day, at least about a little bit less than an hour's worth. So until next time, you guys, don't forget, Rockland, California. Go get your tickets right now. Valentine's Day. It's already halfway sold out. What are you waiting for? Go to homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour and get your tickets, and you'll see my other tour dates there too. And you can while you're there on the website, you can go over to merch and check out the t-shirts. That's a great way to support. And you can click on contact and even email me. All right, you guys? So just don't forget, even if you go to AugustinoComedian.com, it's the same thing, okay? Takes you to the same website, click on tour, you get tickets to see me on Valentine's Day in Rockland, California, and hopefully soon a city near you. I want to thank Al Del Benny for calling in today, and I want to thank him for feeling that he can open up and just speak the truth here. And I think that was awesome. And I want to thank all of you guys for continuing to support the Homeschooled Podcast. Or if you're new, thank you for giving us a shot. And please come back again. We'll be promising to constantly continue the best content that we possibly can and have great guests. And we'd really appreciate it if you tell a friend. Right, you guys? Because we're starting at the bottom and we're working our way up. And we can't do it without you. Until next time. This is Homeschooled Podcast, and I'm Augustino Zoya. Have a great week.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschooled Podcast. Homeschool.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.